Last week, when the state charged a Pennsylvania lawmaker with stealing $500,000 from her nonprofit to cover her Porsche payments, I wasn't surprised.
Philadelphia lawmaker Representative Movita Johnson-Hero plans to resign from her position here at the Pennsylvania House sometime next week. This comes after the attorney general says she was using money from her own nonprofit.
Johnson-Hero disputes some of the charges, but is expected to plead guilty to others. Now, to be clear, I had no reason to believe Johnson-Hero had personally committed any crimes before hearing about the charges. But as a local reporter, I've seen plenty of politicians of both political parties from all parts of the city get charged with corruption of one kind or another. Why do our elected officials keep getting into trouble? And are we starting to see that change? I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why. Longtime Philadelphia political reporter Dave Davies came in to talk to me about the many corruption scandals he's seen over the years. So Dave, I know we've talked about political corruption in Philadelphia before, and there's obviously a lot to talk about. Why do you think we've seen so many politicians engaging in misdeeds over the years?
Well, I think part of it stems from the city's tradition of machine politics. For decades, the way you won local offices in Philadelphia was to get the support of party, neighborhood, ward organizations. And that process kind of dictated the culture that our leaders grow up in. You'd start in this as a party committee person, a foot soldier, and you'd bring out your neighbors to vote for the candidate that your ward leader was backing. And if you were good at it, you would be rewarded with a few dollars on election day and maybe some clout to do favors for your neighbors. If you kept at it and became good, you'd become a ward leader where the rewards were bigger, including maybe a government job with a nice pension. And if you stay at it, when an opening for some local office comes up, councilman, state rep, you could make your move and become an elected official. The result of all this is that we end up with people in elected office with a transactional view of politics, rather than a commitment to a policy agenda or public service generally. And when you have the power of public office in your hands and this sort of pragmatic deal-making outlook, it's just easier to succumb to the temptations of dirty money, and there are plenty. The other thing I'll just say, Shai, is that for many decades, there was no independent agency that was an ethics cop that had the responsibility to police the behavior of politicians and city officials.
Dave, what are some of the scandals that you've seen in your reporting career?
Oh, man, it's been a sad parade. I mean, you go back to 1980, the Abscam scandal.
For almost a year now, this house in an expensive residential section of Washington, D.C., has been a center of an elaborate FBI undercover investigation of political corruption, codenamed Operation Abscam.
Three Philadelphia City Council members were convicted of accepting bribes from an FBI agent posing as an Arab sheikh.
Washington in a big limousine, threw lavish parties, entertained politicians, and the FBI says paid out hundreds of thousands of dollars in bribes in cash to public officials.
A few years later, you had Leland Beloff, a councilman from South Philadelphia, who tried to extort a $1 million bribe from a developer who wanted to develop Penn's Landing. Beloff and his top aide went to prison. Jimmy Tyune, later councilman from that district, went to prison for using his office in corrupt ways. Rick Mariano, another councilman from Northeast Philadelphia, took credit card payments from a business in his district.
He was also found guilty of getting another company to pay for a $5,400 upscale gym membership.
U.S. Marshals come in with guns and they handcuff and shackle me and take me away.
And then one of the more creative ones was Vince Fumo, the legendary state senator, who had state employees taking his gear to Martha's Vineyard for his vacation. So there are a lot of ways to go astray.
You know, Dave, around the time that I started my reporting career, we saw a huge case come right out of the mayor's office in City Hall. Can you just remind us of what happened?
Well, in the middle of Mayor John Street's reelection campaign, it emerged that there was an FBI listening device in the mayor's office itself.
Some kind of spy device has been found in the office of the mayor of Philadelphia.
Linda Vesey of the FBI came out just a few minutes ago. She confirmed a device. She just called it a device was found in the mayor's office.
And eventually an investigation led to guilty pleas or convictions of some of the mayor's top people. And That led to calls for reform and I think some real change in the end.
What kind of change?
Well, there was a huge movement for reform, which led to a reconstituted ethics board with real teeth and real funding and real staff, and they've really had an impact. I spoke to Shane Creamer.
I'm the executive director for the Philadelphia Board of Ethics.
What exactly does the ethics board do?
Well, one thing it's done is to establish new rules for political campaigns. It had to get city council to enact them, but it was the ethics board that drafted them and pushed for their enactment.
We have been changing those rules with city council over the past, 10 years or so to make them tighter, clearer, and more understandable.
For example, a ban on gifts. I mean, the city's language on what kind of gifts public officials could receive in the past was pretty loose, and the ethics board passed a pretty clear and tough rule.
Officials can't take anything of value more than $99 in a year from those seeking to influence decision making.
And the other thing the ethics board does is to make sure people understand the rules.
We also have mandatory ethics training. So high officials get trained every year. So they get reminders every year about these rules that circumscribe what they can do and what they can accept.
Okay, so that's the work of the ethics board. Has anything else changed in the city to make politics cleaner?
In 2003, around the time the ethics board was being reconstituted, city council imposed limits on contributions. This was a huge deal. Doesn't exist anywhere else in Pennsylvania. And that really had a big impact because in the past, mayoral candidates would get $100,000 contributions. Now they were much more limited. Once those were enacted, part of what the ethics board did was to carefully review candidates' reports and make sure that they were obeying those limits.
So were there any cases that the Philadelphia Ethics Board uncovered that were particularly important?
Yeah, there were a couple that were particularly meaningful. In the closing days of the 2007 mayor's race, some anonymous flyers appeared attacking then-candidate Michael Nutter on a religious or racial appeal. And suspicion soon fell on the most powerful, politically powerful labor union in the city, Local 98 of the Electricians Union.
We opened an investigation and found out that a couple of political consultants who were being paid by Local 98's PAC had made those flyers and circulated them. They brought a lawsuit in federal court to try to block the investigation, challenging our authority. After we won at the trial court level, we were able to resolve the case with them. They admitted they were behind the flyers and agreed to pay a $10,000 penalty.
It was very embarrassing, and it changed the playing field in city elections. These anonymous flyers used to be very typical. You hardly ever see them anymore. The other thing that comes to mind is, in 2011, the Ethics Board learned that Councilwoman Donna Miller was printing election materials right in her city council office, and they essentially raided it. They had police officers go down with them.
We also brought with us several forensic computer experts who imaged hard drives. We got the hard drive from the copiers. We also confiscated boxes of flyers that had been printed. And literally, they're just all over the office. They were on the floor in boxes in every space available space in the office. There were just boxes of these flyers.
As a result of that, brought the hammer down, made her stop using city resources to print election materials, and levied a fine. Mm. And that news of that ricocheted throughout City Hall, and people knew things are different now. Mm.
That they would actually show up at your door if you were doing something that was against the rules.
Right.
Yeah. When we come back,
when we say that city elections are cleaner, that doesn't mean all city politicians are cleaner, because many of them run not for city office, but for state and federal offices.
This is The Why.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. I'm talking with longtime Philadelphia political reporter Dave Davies about why politicians in town have been charged so often with corruption over the years, and how that's changed since the formation of the city's ethics board. Dave, is there any clear evidence that the ethics board has really had an effect in this area?
I think there's a perception that it's changed the culture. But from a 10-year period, from about 2007 to 2017, no city official was criminally charged with corruption. Now, there were civil fines levied by the ethics board, but the whole idea of what they do is to give you corrections to your behavior so you don't get into really big trouble. But for 10 years, there were no city officials criminally charged with corruption. That ended in a big way with the district attorney, Seth Williams.
So my decision to accept gifts and fail to report them brought much embarrassment, shame, and adverse publicity to me, and unfortunately, to the office for which I love. For this, I will always hold deep.
Being accused and ultimately pleading guilty to all kinds of things.
He had over a period of, I think, 6 years, accepted gifts that violated the gift rule and failed to disclose them. That resulted in a settlement agreement. He admitted to the violations and agreed to pay, I think the penalty was about $60,000. And several months after we entered that settlement agreement with him over those illegal gifts and disclosure violations, he was indicted federally.
He also stole, I think, $20,000 intended for his mother's care in a nursing home. Hmm. He's now in federal prison.
We have, over the past few years, seen state officials charged occasionally, right?
Right. When we say that city elections are cleaner, that doesn't mean all city politicians are cleaner, because many of them run not for city office, but for state and federal offices. And some of those have gotten into trouble, like Movita Johnson-Harrell, who, by the way, replaced another state representative in that West Philadelphia district who herself was convicted of bribery, Vanessa Lowry Brown. And that's not even the only Philadelphia district that has had back-to-back representatives that have pled guilty to corruption charges. The same thing happened in a North Philadelphia district a few years before. So we got some issues.
So officials at the state level, what rules do they have to follow?
Well, far fewer. There are no limits on campaign contributions at the state level at all, so they can accept contributions of any size. The rules on gifts are much softer. I mean, essentially, the only gifts that are banned are ones in which you effectively agree to sell your office. So you can take gifts of unlimited size from someone who may be doing business with you, as long as you're not specifically promising something. You're also not having anybody that regularly looks at your campaign finance reports. There's just no entity in the state government that does that routinely, as the ethics board does for Philadelphia elections. There's not the kind of regular, mandatory, widespread training that you do find in Philadelphia. So I just think that there is a different culture. There's a different consciousness.
If you use a metaphor of a mountain road, and in the state, the mountain road has no guardrails, the lines may not be clear, maybe there isn't a speed limit. In the city, that same mountain road has guardrails, has clear lines, and has strict enforcement of speed limits and other restrictions. And so you're less likely to go off the cliff on the city road with the guardrails and enforcement than you are compared to the state road without those limitations or restrictions.
If people around you are cutting corners and getting away with things, it starts to feel normal. And I think that's when people get comfortable and really get into trouble.
What would it take, do you think, to make what's happened in Philly happen at the state level?
It would take a real commitment from the same state legislators that kind of benefit from the loosey-goosey situation that they have now. I mean, they could enact some campaign finance limits. They could have a much tighter ban on gifts. And they could have more regular training, and they could have entities at the state level that actually examine their campaign finance reports regularly and see whether the numbers add up and whether they're reporting everything. For that to happen, you would need affirmative action on the part of state lawmakers who are comfortable with and over the years have benefited, at least some of them, from these arrangements. So it just hasn't happened.
Thanks, Dave.
My pleasure.
Dave Davies hosts Fresh Air on WHYY and is a longtime Philadelphia political reporter. Also, this disclosure, Local 98 represents the engineers at WHYY. The Y is produced by me, Shai Ben Yaakov, along with Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, Kelsey Hansen, and Buffy Gorilla, with editorial direction from Katie Colinari. We had editing help on this episode from Ariella Cohen. Send a tweet at Shai Ben Yaakov. See you tomorrow.